news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. The U.S. military has launched another missile barrage against Iran-backed rebel targets in Yemen.
The wave of ship and submarine-launched missile strikes against Houthi locations marks the fourth time in days the U.S. has directly targeted the group, as violence that ignited in the wake of the Israel-Hamas war continues to spill over in the Middle East. The strikes were launched from the Red Sea and hit targets the command deemed an imminent threat. The hits followed an official announcement on Wednesday that the US has put the Houthis back on its list of specially designated global terrorists. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
It didn't take Pakistan long to retaliate for Iran's attack on targets inside Pakistan. The Pakistani Air Force has bombed what are said to be terrorist hideouts in Iran. A couple of Republican lawmakers think that New Mexico's Democrat governor is ripe for impeachment, running afoul of the Second Amendment.
Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham invoked emergency public health orders last year, suspending the right to carry firearms in some public places in Greater Albuquerque, such as parks and playgrounds. The order was in response to a spate of gun violence. Now Republican Representatives Stephanie Lord and John Block have filed a resolution aimed at initiating impeachment proceedings against Lujan Grisham. The Republicans say the governor has violated her oath of office to uphold state and federal constitutions. Lord says the governor has too much power and is acting like a dictator. I'm Donna Warder.
From the Midwest to the Northeast, forecasters warn that more wintry weather could make travel challenging in the coming few days. Boston, New York, Washington, D.C., among the major East Coast cities, could be in for measurable snowfall before the end of the week. Watching Wall Street, Dow futures down 74 points. NASDAQ futures up 124. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
John Solomon provides exclusive reporting and newsmaker interviews on John Solomon Reports on the Salem Podcast Network.
We broke this story because we got the documents early. They put out this new information, and it affirms our reporting that this Democrat donor gave about $5 million or more in assistance to Hunter Biden, basically paid off his bills.
Subscribe to John Solomon Reports today on Apple, Spotify, Google, Rumble, or at...
This KMZQ News Flash powered by Palm Mortuaries and Cemeteries. Stay active, be healthy, they'd rather wait. Now, since that signage is not yet up, enforcing the ban on stopping on strip pedestrian bridges won't be done for at least a couple of weeks. Now, the ordinance went into effect Tuesday, but Clark County officials say signage won't be going up until around Super Bowl 58, which is February 11th. Local law enforcement officials say the ban is meant to stop crime on the bridges and ensure a smooth flow of foot traffic. Opponents of the measure say it violates the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution and will eventually be challenged in court. Las Vegas Grand Prix Flamingo Bridge is coming down. Crews will begin to remove that temporary bridge at Flamingo and Cobalt Sunday. In order to bring that bridge down, the intersection of Flamingo and Cobalt, it will be closed to all traffic between Sunday night at 9 and 9 at night on February 1st. The bridge takedown is beginning to be completed, or hopes to be completed, by the start of Super Bowl 58 activities. That's starting February 5th. Now, the temporary bridge has been in place since October and allowed traffic to go into the resort corridor during the Las Vegas Grand Prix, which happened this past November. Clark County officials say they're evaluating the bridge's impact and are thinking about building a permanent version. Adults will now be able to be kids once again. An immersive entertainment attraction opening here in Las Vegas. You'll enter Play Playground by going down a slide, just as you did as a kid back on the playground. The interactive attraction featuring more than 20 larger-than-life nostalgic games, along with two bars and private event rooms, Play Playground, will be open daily for kids of all ages, but the nights, they'll be reserved for the kids over 21. The first of its kind attraction opens today over at the Luxor Hotel Casino. Take AM 670 with you wherever you go. Check out our website at 670kmzq.com. Click on that Listen Live button.
This is a St. Jude moment. Ashton was a high-level athlete. And in an instant, your world flips. And your healthy 5-year-old competitive cheerleader has a brain tumor. And the physician was like, your best option is St. Jude. Receiving treatment that was life-saving for our child and knowing that that treatment would be of no cost to us was a huge weight lifted.
Learn more at stjude.org.
KMCQ on-time traffic. It's powered by Meineke Car Centers. Stop in today and get a synthetic blend oil change for only $34.95.
Already seen the early morning braking on the east side of the valley through the Charleston Curve. The only accident being reported on the freeways is in the area. It's on the northbound side of 95 after Charleston. Seems pretty heavy approach braking on approach there. Northbound 95 again after Charleston is where the problem spot is. Clear sunny skies this afternoon. Temperatures warming into the low 60s. 41 degrees right now and rain is in the forecast for Saturday evening. I'm Mark Thomas with your on-time traffic and weather on AM 670 KMZQ.
Gather round. The best way to get something done, if it holds near and dear to you, that you like to be able to... Anyway. America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him.
Check it out!
And Joan, Shingang, I'm going to pronounce her. Shanga.
Can I just say that of all the idiots, in all the idiot villages, in all the idiot worlds, you stand alone.
Number one! Time is running out! Number two!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It is live and local. Everything you need to know to start your day on this Thursday, January 18th. Good to have you with us. If you look back on the last business day of 2023, the federal government reached a grim milestone, $34 trillion in gross debt. If you want to divvy that up household to household across America, that's $260,000 per household. Why is such overspend? Oh, and by the way, they're continuing every day to do this. This is not something that stops and starts. This is a continuing effort. Why is that bad for America? Why is it bad for folks here in Las Vegas? David Ditch joins us. He is the senior policy analyst for the Heritage Foundation, and he focuses on federal spending and fiscal policy. He joins us. David, thank you so much for being a part of the show. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Tell me why this is important. Why is it important to shine a light on this overspending? I know they can just go down to the basement and print up more money if they need to.
Well, that's entirely the point. 5 years ago, I was complaining that the debt was too high, but a lot of times the damage from the debt was more sort of theoretical. It's not a theory anymore. The wave of inflation that we've been experiencing over the last few years is the result of the massive spending spree that Congress went on using the COVID pandemic as an excuse to throw dollars at every pet interest group that they could find. The spike in interest rates was caused by the inflation. The interest rate spike has pushed home ownership out of the reach of millions, tens of millions of families across the country. And unfortunately, it's going to something has to give because the deficits remain way higher than is remotely sustainable. Inflation is still half again higher than it was before the pandemic, let alone that it's inflation on top of the inflation that we've already been suffering. And until the inflation's more under control, they're never going to bring the interest rates back down.
So where is the blame? Is it on Congress? I know the congressional leaders went to the White House yesterday to meet with the president. Is it the president? Is it a combination of the two? What?
I would say it's a combination of the two. The first blame should go to Congress because they have the power of the purse. the Biden administration has gone out of its way to make things worse, to sort of bend the law where possible so they can spend more money to give out more handouts. But at the end of the day, it is Congress. It is a problem that's been caused by Congress, and it's a problem that Congress needs to take some action ever to resolve.
What's the difference in this spending, Democrats versus Republicans? Is this a partisan issue, or is this bipartisan?
It is absolutely bipartisan. You know, over the course of the last couple decades, we've had every different combination of who controls which part of Congress, who controls the White House. The debt keeps going up, and it's because it's more politically convenient in the short term to just use deficit spending as a catch-all solution to problems. And what the politicians keep banking on is that they won't have to deal with the consequences, but they are having to deal with the consequences. There are good reasons why support for Congress is so low.
Again, David Ditch joining us. He is the senior policy analyst for the Heritage Foundation. Tell us about earmarks. We've gone kind of back and forth on earmarks over the years. Yeah, we're going to do earmarks. No, we're going to really have reform, and we're not going to do earmarks. But they're still doing the same stuff. They're still doling out tens of billions of dollars. Can you talk a little bit about earmarks, and where are we on earmarks right now, by the way? Are we doing them or not doing them?
Right now, we are doing them. They've been in place for, they were brought back 2 years ago, unfortunately. This is where Congress, in the annual spending process, will give special authorization for specific projects that are requested by members of Congress. And I'll give you a pertinent example. Last year, Representative Titus, along with Senators Cortez Masto and Rosen, got an earmark that spends $2 million for solar lighting at bus stops in Las Vegas.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. And does this go through the regular order process? They talk about regular order. Does that have to go through this, or as an earmark, does it just get put into some spending bill?
There is a certain process that ensures that there is transparency. We do know the names of the people who should get the credit or blame, depending on how you're looking at it. So, for example, that's why I know that those three Congress critters thought that this was the bus stop solar lighting was a good use of taxpayer dollars. The way I look at this is sort of, we've got massive problems. In the next 10 years, both Social Security and Medicare could very well go bankrupt. They're kicking the can on that problem, but they can't even show a willingness to not waste money on these boondoggles. As long as, like, this demonstrates how far we are from Congress behaving with an iota of responsibility.
Let me just ask you, how do we reverse this trend? I don't know how somebody can go out onto the campaign trail and tell people, I'm going to stop, spending money on you folks. I'm going to stop doing this in Nevada. I'm going to stop doing this in Indiana, whatever it might be. How do we reverse it?
I do think it is going to require some better leaders here in the swamp. And if you go back 12, 13 years, we had the Tea Party movement. The Tea Party movement, I believe, was primarily founded around a reaction to the damage caused by the massive size and scope of the federal government. And we actually got some meaningful spending cuts as a result of the new members, many of whom were fiscally conservative, who came into Congress, even though they weren't even a majority. Over the years, most of those members have now retired, and they've been replaced by more of what one might call rank-and-file members on both sides who are willing to sign off on spending increases as long as each party gets a set-aside for their own projects.
Are we talking enough about this out-of-control spending on the campaign trail, in particular in the presidential race. You've heard what the candidates have been saying in Iowa and now New Hampshire and eventually here in Nevada. Are we talking enough about it? Are these candidates talking enough about it?
Well, if you look at the polls showing that Americans are very concerned about the economy and very concerned about inflation and want real solutions, I don't think anywhere near enough time is being spent on this. And if you watch the debates, the moderators have asked typically very few questions on the economy, almost never talk about debt and deficits and spending. And the extent to which the mainstream media never puts this in the headlines, always buries it, the public just doesn't know, because most people have better things to do than to worry about the federal budget. People have enough worries just with their family budgets.
I keep asking myself the question, how do we wean 535 members of Congress off of earmarks, spending, bringing home the bacon, as they say? How do we do that? How do we get 535 members of Congress singing from the same hymnal?
Again, I ultimately think that there need to be political consequences. It's vital for Americans to speak with one voice and say that this is not acceptable. This is a problem that transcends party. This is not just a problem that Republicans or conservatives need to be worrying about. This is a problem for everyone because it is now affecting us all.
Well, we always say that elections have consequences, and so it is that we just happen to have an election coming up in November, June 11th for the primary. Look in your crystal ball if you can. Are we going to change anything, or is it going to be just business as usual?
I don't think that the Biden administration is going to be changing its stripes anytime soon, so that's one half of the equation. The record under President Trump was sometimes good, sometimes not so good. The Trump budgets were a lot stronger than what Congress was willing to pass. I hope that would continue if he ends up being the nominee on the Republican side.
It'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. If folks want to know more about what you're writing about, David, how do they go about doing it?
You can follow me on Twitter at David A. Ditch, or you can visit the website at heritage.org.
That's Ditch, D-I-T-C-H. Am I right?
Yes.
David, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. And I hope the folks in Washington are listening because what you're talking about is going to impact all of us if we're not careful. Thanks so much, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, have a good day.
There you have it, David Ditch, the senior policy analyst for the Heritage Foundation. And what he's saying is exactly right. This is incredible what's going on right now. $34 trillion debt, and it's unsustainable. And it's going to impact all of us. With inflation, you know, Biden inflation, that's all a part of this. Stay where you are. More to do as we continue. This is going to be an amazing day. Coming up a little bit later on in the hour, 6:30, we're going to be joined by Dan Schwartz, an old friend and a candidate for Congress in CD3. He just announced yesterday. We'll talk about that and a whole bunch more coming up on AM 670 KMZQ.
Thursday edition, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. We're just a few days out for New Hampshire. Donald Trump, huge win in Iowa. Can he replicate that in New Hampshire and effectively lock up the nomination? We will discuss.
9 to noon on AM 670 KMZQ.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few years ago, a friend invited me for an evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Now, Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes. Boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's had been there for over 3 decades and family-owned for over 20 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. And I love their food. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including seafood, steaks, burgers, pastas, and five daily specials. And their kitchen is open 24 hours a day for you late-night foodies. What do I like best about Ichabod's? Their old-school Vegas atmosphere. Their bartenders and servers are super friendly. When everyone else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers. And you'll love their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar. You want to win? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
I just moved here, and now I have to get permission from a licensing board before I can even get a job. And I need 1,600 hours of training before I can apply for the license? How am I supposed to do that and pay for rent?
According to data from the Institute for Justice, the state of Nevada has the most burdensome licensing laws for low-income professions than any other state in the nation. Hair braiders, landscapers, even shampooers have to undergo hundreds or even thousands of hours of training and pay hundreds or thousands of dollars in licensure fees before they're allowed to work in the state, even if they're already licensed somewhere else.
How does it cost so much to just get a job?
Visit NevadaPolicy.org to learn more about the way unnecessary licensure requirements are burdening working Nevadans. This has been a public service announcement from the Nevada Policy Research Institute, a 501c3 nonprofit.
Hey, fellow business owners, Kevin Wall here, and I've got a game changer for you. When it comes to your team's safety and your business's success, think Blue Sky for workers' compensation insurance. Blue Sky Insurance is a locally owned and operated independent insurance brokerage focused on solving your small business insurance needs. You know that accidents can throw any business owner a curveball. But if you work with Blue Sky, you can consider your bases covered. Owners Steve and Amy Miller will help you with a tailored plan designed to handle the accidents and let you do what you do best, run your business. Whether you've been in business for years or you're just starting out, call Blue Sky today. Do it right now, 702-410-8020, or visit them online at blueskylv.com. Blue Sky Insurance, your partner in workplace safety, 702-410-8020, or online at blueskylv.com. And tell them Kevin Wall sent you.
Hey friends, it's Patrick Casale, the Multicare Group. With the difficulty in finding quality employees to ensure your business thrives, I have a solution for you. Offer employee benefits. Benefits are 100% tax deductible to the employer, income tax free to the employees and dependents, can be used nationally, and are far more robust than any other individual plan being offered. The Multicare Group can help you obtain affordable quality health benefits. We have access to association health plans that offer multiple options, attractive rates for you and your employees, with national access and the finest hospitals and physicians in United States. Call the Multicare Group today for your no obligation quote, 702-396-9449. We have access to all the carriers that offer health insurance, dental coverage, vision care, group life and disability insurance. Allow our relationships to guarantee you the most competitive rates. The Multicare Group can provide you with all these services, plus we can offer payroll services at the most competitive rates, along with the best workers' compensation programs available in the country. Call Patrick Casale of the Multicare Group today, 702-396-9449.
You're listening to Live and Local with Kevin Wall on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Hard to believe it, but we are going to be at ground zero of the presidential primary race coming up when we have the caucus February 8th here in town. And by the way, coming up tomorrow on the program, just after 6 o'clock in the morning, we're going to be joined by Laura Trump, the daughter-in-law of former President Donald J. Trump. What is the Trump family feeling with all of the four indictments, the big blowout win in Iowa, now on to New Hampshire, eventually here Nevada? We're going to talk with her about all of that coming up tomorrow morning at 6:05. So make sure that you're listening. I thought it would be good to get the assessment of Karl Rove as to what is going on in New Hampshire. We know that he had Trump had a 30-point victory in New Hampshire. This was Karl Rove yesterday on Fox News Channel with Sandra Smith crunching some numbers in New Hampshire.
Tell us what we're looking at here. This is the latest polling out of CNN and UNH on Trump at 39%, Nikki Haley 7 points behind at 32%. Can she close the gap? I flip over here and highlight what she's trying to do with these undeclared voters in New Hampshire. This is party registration, 262,000 Democrats, 267,000 Republican. This is the group to watch, this undeclared group, 343,000 of them. Can she grab them, Carl?
Well, others have grabbed them. I painfully know that. In 2000, George W. Bush won Iowa, going away 41% of the vote, and went to New Hampshire and got walloped by John McCain by 17 or 18 points. And he hadn't even participated in Iowa. So New Hampshire voters are different than Iowa. They are less church, less evangelical. In this instance, they're more MAGA. The Iowa voters are more MAGA than in New Hampshire. And New Hampshire does have a tradition of allowing independent voters to come in and vote in either the Democratic or Republican presidential primaries, whichever is more exciting. And the more exciting primary this year in New Hampshire is obviously the Republican, so we can expect a lot of independent voters to come in and make their views known. So, yes, the bottom line is it can happen. Will it happen? We don't know. But if this race is going to go on beyond New Hampshire, it's going to have a Nikki Haley victory in order to do it.
All right, Carl. As we point out, the first choice in New Hampshire right now among GOP voters, 58% say they support Donald Trump. Among those undeclared voters, more of them go for Nikki Haley, 43% of them. So that's what we're watching there. As far as the issues, Carl, coming off of Iowa, where we saw immigration ranked above the economy for Republican voters in Iowa, what do you expect in New Hampshire? I mean, these are some of the questions asked by St. Anselm College. What issues are most important in determining how you vote? Topping this list at 27%. Is the economy in New Hampshire? Immigration comes in second at 24%. Government spending and taxes also double digits, as well as national security. And abortion coming in single digits at 7%. So how will the economy play out for these candidates?
Well, New Hampshire is an anti-tax, limited government, anti-deficit state. So I suspect we'll hear a lot from Nikki Haley about the nearly $8 trillion added to the national debt under President Trump's four years in office. And we'll also hear about how we need to rein in spending and strengthen our defense and do something about the entitlement issue. Hospital Trust Fund of Medicare goes bankrupt on the next president's watch. So economic conservatives in New Hampshire, and I suspect we'll hear a lot from her about that.
What about the ad support we've seen? 28 million for Nikki Haley, 14 million for Donald Trump, 8 million for DeSantis. How do you see that playing out and helping and hurting the candidates, Carl?
Well, Donald Trump is in an unusual and potentially very different position than anybody else. We all know about him. So advertising, you know, has a less of an impact. Certainly, Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis needed to run a lot more ads in order to introduce themselves to the voters of New Hampshire and to every other early primary state. Donald Trump needs no similar effort. He can devote most, if not all, of his advertising to, you know, taking down his opponents, which he's largely done. Yes, we've seen some positive ads reminding people that the economy was good and America was strong, but most of his advertising appears to be, particularly here as we come down to the end in New Hampshire, he's aiming at his primary opponents, particularly Nikki Haley. I think I got like 5 emails this morning from the Trump campaign attacking Nikki Haley on various issues. I suspect we're going to see a lot more of that between now and next Tuesday.
Carl Rove, the brain, on Fox News Channel yesterday, breaking down the numbers as they gear up in New Hampshire. Look for the airwaves to be full of presidential wannabe ads. I think between now and February 8th, we're going to start seeing candidates come through town. We're going to hear from surrogates. In our case, tomorrow, we're going to hear from Laura Trump, the daughter-in-law of Donald J. Trump, the wife of Eric Trump. And we're going to talk about how this has impacted the family, the Trump family. It can't be good. to be dealing with all these indictments and these court appearances, and then try and get that in alongside stump speeches and trips to New Hampshire and to Iowa, and eventually to. And by the way, we're being told by a lot of different folks that we're going to see the former President Donald J. Trump before we are done here on February 8th. Stick around. More to do as we continue. When we come back, Dan Schwartz, a candidate for Congress in CD3. He's the former Nevada State Treasurer. All that and a whole bunch more coming up in our